Welcome to Signs from the Other Side with Fern Ronay. I'm your host, Fern Ronay, and this is the place to share stories of signs and messages received from the other side. If you like this podcast, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe in Apple Podcasts and tell a friend too. Thank you so much for listening and on to the show. As the CEO of Happy Vibes LLC, Kathy Mao empowers clients to achieve wellness and vitality through science-backed and holistic practices. Uniquely qualified after her own journey with endometriosis and infertility, Kathy knows firsthand what it takes to heal and achieve one's goals. Now, as the proud mom of a little girl and the host of the Ignite Your Power podcast, Kathy shares what she's learned on her own journey and as a certified coach helps clients on their own path. Welcome, Kathy. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited to be here, and what an absolute amazing intro. So thank you for that.
If we could talk about your journey starting from the beginning, your parents owned a fast food restaurant.
Yes. So it was called Snow White Drive-In. And so we sold, like, you know, typical hamburger, french fries, milkshakes, the whole nine yards. And I grew up in a very fast-paced environment. And it's funny because my parents are immigrants and they came to America and then they owned a fast food restaurant in a very white suburban town. So my parents were pretty known in a small town like that. So we were like one of the only Asian families at that time. Mm-hmm. And so it was a tough childhood because English is my second language. So I spoke Mandarin Chinese growing up. So going to school, I was like the quiet kid. You would never know that knowing me now.
Yeah. It sounds like you're a true, this is the true you, but this, you know, all of these things were born and we're the real us. And then all of these things happen in our life to kind of knock us down and change the essence of who we are. And we're always on this path to get back to the original us, the real us, the soul that was came to this earth before everything screwed us up. So it sounds like you, yeah, got quiet. At least you had your sister, right? You have a twin sister. Was it always kind of like you were a package deal?
Yeah, growing up. So I always was like compared with her. And then we were always just as, you know, both of us equaled a one person, which is kind of weird if you think about it, but we're obviously our own person. Yeah, so it was really tough for me to find my own identity. Like when she finally went to law school and did her own thing and I stayed back and, you know, took care of my dad during, you know, when he was sick, he had cancer. And so I stood back and kind of like helped my family out at that time. Oh. So that was the first time we ever separated. Yeah. Because we went to college together. Like we went, you know, since the day I was born all the way up until UCLA, we went to college together. And then when she finally had to do law school, that's when we separated for the first time. And I was like, whoa, this is so weird. Like I have to do things on my own without another person, or like her being next to me. And people are like, oh, you guys are just one, you know, like I was actually just myself at that time. So it was a journey. But now I know we're very similar, but then at the same time, and now I realize going through what I had to do, yeah. You know, now I'm like a powerful being and she just compliments me and we're lucky where we get to have that relationship.
So you were going through this infertility journey and your sister tried once, got pregnant. Your other sister tried once, got pregnant. And that's very hard because you were probably, I know so many stories like this where obviously you were happy for your sisters, but when you're not getting this dream and it becomes so stressful and so hard, it's such a hard thing to grapple with because it's not that you're not happy for them. It highlights your own sadness and disappointment.
It sure did. And, you know, I feel bad looking back because, you know, I was trying first. And then she kind of just saw how my journey was with infertility. She's like, maybe I should start trying too, because she wasn't really thinking about it. But then, you know, she just tried and then got pregnant. And then it really upset me because I've been trying before, right? And I didn't get the results. And she got it out of nowhere. And so, you know, that's where I had to grow and learn. I should have been, you know, there for her, but I wasn't. But, you know, she's such a great sister. She never like held that against me or anything. She understood. But looking back, I wish I was more supportive in her pregnancy journey.
not to spoil the ending, but you have the cutest little peanut. She's on your website.
Thank you.
And what you discovered was that you had endometriosis. In its simplest form, it's like when the tissue grows outside of the uterus, right? Is that like a way to describe
it? The endometrial cells will grow outside the uterus or anywhere in the body, actually. So it's not just the, you know, the uterus or women's parts. It can like go to your diaphragm. It can go to like any big organs of the body. So that's why, you know, endometriosis isn't taken seriously because people cast it as like a period pain problem, which is not right. It's more than that.
It is hard to diagnose, right?
It really is. It takes about 7 to 10 years to get a diagnosis. And for me, it took 20 years to get my diagnosis.
It resulted in you, Thanksgiving 2020, on the floor of your bathroom, throwing up and going to the emergency room. And finally, it was, did they do a scan to see?
Yeah. So when they did like an MRI scan and they just found an ovarian cyst. So at the time, they're like, okay, no big deal. It's just an ovarian cyst. There's nothing wrong. Go home, see your OBGYN. Mm-hmm. And during that time, COVID just hit, right? So it was really hard to get a doctor's appointment. So I had to wait in January 2021 to even see a doctor because, you know, the world was at a halt. When I went to go see my OBGYN, and before that, I did my research, and I was like, seems like I have endometriosis. Like, I had a hunch. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to the doctor's appointment, the doctor straight up was like, no. Like, she did not even ask me questions. I was like, I think I have endometriosis because the episode sounded like, you know, like an endo flare. We call it endo flares when you have those episodes where you throw up and you're like in so much pain. And she just said, no, you just have an ovarian cyst. You're fine. You just had a very bad period. And then so she just ordered ultrasounds for me every month just to kind of just see how the ovarian cyst was growing, but they're growing at an exponential rate every time it went. And then it was on one ovary, it ended up having another one on the other one. And then ultimately both grew to 6 centimeters each. It was causing me so much pain. At that time, I was so lucky that an ultrasound technician actually found out that it was an endometrioma. So she's like, yeah, you do have endometriosis. And I was like, yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, I've been saying all along. Thanks for finally validating it.
I had a laparoscopy to remove the endometriosis and the lesions in my body because I was in so much pain. And mind you, the only thing that can really relieve pain is having these big surgeries, these laparoscopies. Yeah. So it's like these excision surgeons, and there's not a lot of them too that are highly skilled to do this. I think there's like 200 around the world, and there's like 1 in 10 women who have endometriosis. So I got really lucky at that time because I was going through IVF too. I was trying everything. Trust me, that year, like 2021 was crazy. I was like, that was a time of empowerment and learning for me. And so I did IVF too. And so my IVF doctor at the time was wonderful. He knew about endometriosis because a lot of women with endometriosis have infertility. It's very common. Mm-hmm. So he knew about it. He works with this surgeon and he introduced me to her. And then they worked together to help conserve as much of my ovaries as possible so I could try to have a child. So I was very thankful.
So you had this surgery to remove the chocolate cyst and then you...
Yeah.
Went through like the first IVF, I guess, retrieval.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, you only did it once, and it sounds like he was a great doctor. But it's kind of a crapshoot. It didn't work that time, right?
I think I only had like good 8 eggs retrieved, and then like 4 were good enough to make into embryos, and then I only had 1 good embryo out of the 4, and then so I was able to actually try to make that embryo into something. So they implanted it into my uterus. I was pregnant for like 2 weeks and then I got a miscarriage, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So it was tough, but you know, the story, moral of the story is like when I surrendered and I was like, God, please tell me, or a source or a universe, I just surrender. Just let it be. And you know what? Like my husband and I tried and we didn't even think any of it. We're like, I think it's like around my ovulation time, like, let's just try. You know what? We got pregnant naturally. Yeah, we were planning to do another second round of IVF. I got the medication just in case. Yeah, we got pregnant naturally with my daughter. Isn't that crazy?
It's amazing. It's so funny because my husband and I are always talking how in life, like, you want something. And then when you finally, like you say, I don't want to say give up, but surrender. When you finally surrender is always when we've noticed that it happens. Like, I was a single girl in New York City, a lawyer, as a matter of fact, and I was so wanted to get married. Like, that was just important to me. Like, I wanted to share my life with someone, and it was a roller coaster. I say the years that I lived in New York, it was like the best of times, it was the worst of times. And I finally was like, you know what? This summer of this year, I was getting, I was doing a house with my friends at the beach. And I was like, I'm just going to have fun. Like, I'm just going to surrender this summer. And then when it comes back to fall, I'll go back to like on the hunt, I'll go to a matchmaker. I'll get back to it. But I was like, I'm just going to give up for the summer. And of course I meet my husband on 7/7.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh, congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's just funny that like when you finally surrender and stop holding on to something so desperately, I hear it so often is finally when it happens. And I think that's consistent with your philosophy of the, I love that your joke is that it's the BS life, but it's the bliss walk life.
Yes. Yes.
Which is awesome. But can you explain the philosophy?
Yes. So, you know, through my journey, I finally came up with the bliss off life. It's literally living in your power, knowing that you're this soul amazing being, and we're all here for a human experience, but we forget that, right, when we come to the earth. Mm-hmm. And when you know your power, you live more blissfully because you know that source or the universe really does have your back. Like you just gave an example, right, when you surrender. Mm-hmm. And life is just so much softer that way. When you're in... You know, when you're trying to control and being in this fearful state or like unloving state of yourself, that's when everything's hard because you're trying to force it. It's not for you. So that's why I want to teach people to try to be in alignment with yourself. So it starts with self-love and loving yourself and just being joyful, being in the present moment. And when you do that, you live a blissful life.
Yes, being in the present moment, it's consistent with surrendering. Like when you just give it to God and just enjoy the moment, your energy changes and magically things start appearing and you get things out of nowhere, it seems. You get pregnant out of nowhere. You meet your husband. These things happen. It's amazing. And I don't want to skip over another important part, but you healed yourself. Yes, there was the surgery, but there was also, you went through a holistic process to really heal your body. Can you talk a little about that?
Oh, yes. I think that was a very crucial piece. I went on a bean protocol. So it was like, you know, eating a lot of fiber, but getting rid of alcohol, getting rid of gluten, and just trying to like really take care of my body and not poisoning it in a sense. So people with endometriosis have like 10 times more toxins in our body than other people because our body's already inflamed. So it's like an inflammatory disease. So I went on the bean protocol. So it's pretty much eating a lot of fiber to get these toxins out of your body. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I think it was so helpful. It was a key piece of really taking my power back, taking my health back.
And you quit alcohol.
Yes, I quit alcohol at that time. Obviously, if you're trying to be pregnant, you know, the best thing to do is obviously get rid of alcohol. But during my depressed state, you know, we use substances to mask our depressing state. So I used alcohol as that way to do that. So I did quit alcohol.
Yeah.
And so I went on the bean protocol, drink a lot of water, love myself. I started loving myself, which I've never done before that. I always put other people first. And, you know, that was the big lesson out of my infertility stage was to love myself. And looking back, I'm like, wow, thank you, universe, for teaching me that lesson. Because I actually set boundaries. I had to set boundaries with my older sister because, you know, she yes, I love her to death, but she likes to suck your energy. I had to block her out, and I never did that. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, but I, like, blocked her on everything, like social media from my phone. And I've never done that. And that was like one of the healthiest things I've ever done for myself. And so I really took my self-care and self-love to like times 10 that I've never done. And I like cut out everybody that I did not want to talk to. And I only talked to like my twin sister and my mom at the time.
I'm a big fan of cutting people not and doing it with love. Like there are people in my life who I absolutely love and I want wonderful things happening for them, but their energy doesn't match mine and continue to not match mine as I grew on a spiritual journey. And that's okay. I love them, but I don't want them in my orbit. And there's nothing wrong with that.
There isn't. But isn't that beautiful how we can control our energy? And, you know, we forget that everything is energy, right? Everything is energy. So you can protect yourself, which you are this energy being. So, I definitely learned that.
Well, you just set me up perfectly. Everything is energy. And this is stories of signs from the other side. So if you could tell the story of the rice outside the doorstep with your grandfather.
Yeah. So in Asian culture, you put rice and you like leave it out and then you make it plain. So then like you can see the handprint on the rice. So when my grandfather passed, my grandma did this to see if he would come back to just tell us that he's okay. And so he really did come back the night he passed away. He like put a handprint in the rice. My uncle has the picture. I don't have it. Unfortunately, I would have sent it to you. But yeah, so we're like, okay, I was like skeptical. I was like, did my uncle do this? He's like, no, this is your grandpa coming back. This is what, you know.
The tradition is that you put the rice outside and you hope that there'll be a handprint, but does it hardly ever happen?
Yeah, I think it just depends. So usually, I guess it has happened before, like my great grandfather passed and he did that too. So I guess it's in my mom's side that they do that. Mm-hmm. We didn't really do that for my dad's side. So he came back and did that. Yeah. I guess my grandma asked him, like, hey, can you please come back and, you know, show us you're okay by putting your handprint in the rice. And he did. So that was like the first sign I ever saw. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And then I started seeing signs too, as like, you know, a lot of people start passing in my life.
Yeah, your grandma with the cricket.
Yes. So my grandmother, she passed away and we were actually in her place when she passed, and there was a cricket inside the kitchen, and she always hung out in the kitchen, mind you. So it was just a random night, and we're just sitting there, and there's a cricket chirping at us, and we're like, whoa, what is going on? And it was just literally directly staring at me, my sister, and my dad, and we're like, what is going on? Mind you, I've never seen a grasshopper inside a home. We would hear crickets, like, you know, on the outside, you know, just chirping, but like, you never see them, really.
Right.
But it was chirping inside the home. And we're like, oh my God. And then my sister and I literally was like, hi, Grandma. And then when we said hi, Grandma, and then like hopped away outside. We're like, what?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And it's so funny that you always say this with science. Like, you just know. Like, it's like, you just know, like, this is different. This is something unusual. Yeah. And this is her.
Yeah. Like, you just have like this like peaceful feeling of energy, right? Because everything's energy and you just know it. There's no explanation for it, but you just know. You just like have this peaceful bliss energy in you. It's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. And speaking of that peaceful bliss energy, your dad passed. I'm very sorry. And you had a dream where it was not a dream. It was a visit.
Yeah. So I didn't know that, right? Because I started becoming more and more spiritual. But when you first pass, you know, like they do come in your dreams, because when you're dreaming, that's when you're like connecting yourself to the higher realms. Your energy is like recharging. So it's easier for your past loved ones to talk to you. So he did come into my dreams, and we used to love karaoke-ing. So he would show up like, karaoke-ing, showing me like when he was a healthy him, not like the sick version where he was very skinny. But yeah, he showed up like showing he was happy, like, you know, karaoke-ing with friends and family. That's what we used to do, like pretty much every weekend. And it just felt so good. And it's funny, he showed up for my brother at, my brother got a new house. And like, I guess my brother's sink was leaking. And it was crazy because he came into my brother's dream helping him fix that sink. And my brother was like, whoa, I needed to fix that sink. It was leaking. But dad came to help me in my dream.
Did he know that there was something wrong with the sink before he had the dream?
No. And I think he checked and then he's like, whoa, it's leaking. And he's like, yeah, dad's telling, like, helping me to fix that thing. And I was like, oh,
yes.
He's around.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. And then I love the story of the dream with your aunt.
Yeah. So my aunt passed away last year and she came into my dreams and she was showing my cousin and I and my twin sister. Like, we always used to go to her house to, you know, hang out, and she used to cook us meals. And so she was showing me, she was so happy, you know, so happy, and she was cooking a meal for us, and us three were just laughing. So it was like, it felt very familiar and very good. And when I told my cousin this, she started tearing because she was like, usually every year during this time, I'm so busy with work, my mom would come and help me watch the kids. And so she came to tell me she is here, but not physically.
Yes, absolutely. Incredible. It's so nice to hear your journey because it feels like you've really crystallized the lessons and are able to see how they were meant to happen and what you were meant to learn and how you're supposed to help others. Can you talk about the services that you offer?
Yeah. So I do a numerology guidance card reading. So it's very guiding. So any guidance with whatever you need help in, empowering yourself. So I do like a coaching, like we'll do kind of like a coaching session before we talk and dive deep into the card reading. And that's where I will ask your higher self guides to help guide you into the right direction of what, where you need to go to obtain that goal. I did this reading for my friend. She was having trouble with having a kid. And then she asked me, she's like, okay, let's do a reading. I was like, sure. And she's like, her question was, how do I get my dragon baby? Right. And at that time, she was very stressed out with work and life. And she was wanting to go to decide if she wanted to go to this rave or not. When we pulled the card reading, I picked out spirituality and then music and then adventure. So she's a very adventurous person and she loves music. And she was debating if she wanted to go this rave. And so the universe or her guides were telling her to go to this rave. So she went. 2 days later, she came home and conceived her baby. And now she's about to have her dragon baby in August.
Oh, what's a dragon baby?
Oh, so the lunar calendar, if you did not know, sorry, I just assumed that everybody knows this, but it's not common knowledge.
I'm from New Jersey, but I like the name, Dragon Baby.
So in the lunar calendar, there's like 12 animals. Okay. And so this year, 2024, in like the lunar calendar, it's the year of the dragon. And so in Chinese tradition, dragon is symbolized as a very powerful being. So a lot of people want to have dragon babies in the Asian culture. So she's
in the year of the dragon.
Yes. So yes, she wanted a baby in the year of the dragon, and she has a baby boy coming year of the dragon. So
wow, she sounds like someone who has a lot of energy. If she was like going to go to a rave, I'm like a rave. That sounds very sounds like it takes a lot of energy.
But yes, I know.
But she sounds like someone who's very energetic, and it sounds like she is someone who should have a dragon baby.
Yeah, so I was so happy for her. I just, you know, reminded her that she just had to go do what she needed to be happy. Remember, like, you just have to be in alignment and do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
So I enjoy doing those card readings, and I also do one-on-one coaching if people need help in that sense too.
And the one-on-one coaching is you kind of explore all aspects, like mental health, physical health, and kind of coach them through guiding your clients to where they should, what they can do to achieve what they want.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. May it be their health, you know, whatever goal, even fertility, but I like to do the holistic, the whole approach, like spiritual, physical and mental, because in order to truly heal holistically, you know, you need all three aspects.
I'm so happy we got to chat. Where can everyone find you?
Yes. So at my website, it is www.kathymao.com. And you can also find me on social media on Instagram. My handle is Kathy.Mao. And then on TikTok and Facebook, it's Kathy Mao without the dot.
Perfect. Great. And I'll link all of that in the show notes. Thank you again so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It was such an honor, and you are such a love and light to this world. So thank you for giving me this time and space to do this today.
Thank you so much for listening to Signs from the Other Side. You can find me, Fern Ronay, on all social media at Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y. I love hearing from you, and I love hearing your stories of signs. And if you would like to hear more episodes of this show, please be sure to subscribe in Apple Podcasts. Thank you again, and sweet dreams.